Welcome to Her Hoop Stats, your all-in-one place for women's basketball news, comments about every level of women's basketball. I am Helen Williams, and I'm joined by my new game buddy, Cindy Brunson. Cindy, welcome. It was so good to see you last week in the ATL.
I tell you what, that was a ton of fun. You are a blast at a game, and I cannot wait to do it again. And I know our seats were pretty good because we were right behind Renee Montgomery.
Yes. We had great seats. Yeah. And it was fun. It was HBCU night and had some great entertainment. We got a chance to see Angel Gray and Tabitha Turner and shoot the ball with them a little bit before the game. But just your impressions now. You've hit every venue, so your impressions
just about. I've done 8. Number 9 will happen Thursday night when I go to Minnesota.
Okay. All right.
I love the vibe of Atlanta, but get into a bigger gym. The fan base being the smallest in the WNBA is just not serving, especially the talent level on this team. Dan Padova has done such a good job building around Ryan Howard, adding Ali Chagray. Nas Hillman is probably going to win sixth player of the year. BG is there. Bree Jones is there. I mean, the star power up and down the roster, led by Jordan Canada, just deserves more fannies in the seats. And that's what I'd like to see from Atlanta. My other takeaway was that court in person looks much better than it does on TV. I understand the intention, right? They wanted to make it look like old school street, Rucker Park, playing in the street. And I get that. Television just doesn't do it justice. I was very impressed with the snacks, the concessions, some of the best.
I was going to say, that was the most important things was the snacks. What did you have? I had the waffle fries.
I had the chicken tenders and the waffle fries because I can never say no to fries. The chicken tenders were elite. And I really liked their, even though it was the smaller venue there at Gateway Arena, the tricked out, they actually named it the drip station, the drip zone for their merchandise. And I thought it was fantastic. There was a lot of availability. There was a lot of variety. And then they had the little feature stations too, throughout the concourse of the ability to take a selfie and, get a portrait looking picture to take home with you as a fan. So I really like those pieces. I love the in-house arena. I love the public address announcer. I just want to see the Dream in a bigger building. Their fans deserve it.
And they used to be in a bigger building before, were they
not? Yes. I've seen them play at Phillips Arena. I think it was called Phillips Arena at the time. And so I've seen them when Angel McCautry was hooping. They've been in big girl venues before, and I would like to see that again.
Well, and the most important thing was I wish we had taken a picture of the adorable little munchkin that was dressed just like Ali Chagray. She had her goggles and anything. Oh, my God.
Yes.
She was so cute.
She was a baby Ali Chagray. It was. And to your point, the goggles dip sent me. I was done. I'm like, this baby girl is so cute.
And I got to give, as always, I got the Wake Forest shirt on. I got to give De'Erica Hamby.
Listen.
Her kudos, because she carried LA in that game, and I never missed an opportunity to shout out Wake Forest.
She carried him again last night against Phoenix in a must-win game for Los Angeles, and Helen, she was hitting her free throws. I was texting folks that I know in Los Angeles. I'm like, is this a career high makes for free throws for De'Erica? She was amazing. And I hate that Los Angeles missed out on the playoffs, but got to play defense. Can't have the best offense and not play defense. So, and then just the start. Yeah. What, only 5 wins to start, 5-13 to start, the injuries, all of that. That was a bummer, but they're going to be good. They're going to be really good. If they can keep the core together.
That's the key.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a question for everybody going into next season, because just about, unless you're on a rookie contract or your name isn't Lexi Brown or Kalani Brown, you are an unrestricted free agent. So,
That's a whole nother episode. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. But
totally.
Let's just talk a little bit now. We have, with one exception, unless something happens tonight, we have the playoffs kind of set. Yeah. If it were as of last night, it would be Minnesota versus Seattle, Las Vegas mm-hmm. versus Golden State, Atlanta versus Indiana, and Phoenix versus New York.
Right.
What are your thoughts going into the playoffs and who's hot and who's got some work to do?
I would say that the hottest team right now is Las Vegas, that 15 game, soon to be 16 game win streak. It's hard to get any hotter than that. I would not be surprised to see every initial series go the distance with the three game. And I don't see anybody that makes me nervous or has work to do outside of the New York Liberty, because we just haven't seen them at full strength for stretches since the beginning of the season. So that's a question mark. I know Phoenix has dropped a couple games in a row. A lot of the fans around me last night at PHX Arena were quite in their feelings about that. I'm like, listen, AT already got her triple-double, the eighth, a record eighth of the season, and it only took her 22 minutes. So I think Phoenix is going to be okay. But I'm very curious to see, you know, the teams that have let go of the rope just a little bit for rest.
Yeah.
Minnesota, yeah. You know, Fee sat in the last game against Indiana. So it's, you know, you can't have too much recency bias, but for my money, nobody's hitting the postseason hotter than the Aces.
Well, you got your little bobblehead from Phoenix
I
yesterday?
I do. This is why I pulled up, Helen. You know, I love me some merch. This was the giveaway on Fan Appreciation Night for the Phoenix Mercury. And because I had the absolute privilege of calling so many of Ka Copper's amazing games last season, including the pair where she set a WNBA record by scoring 37 points or more in back-to-back games, I had to get the Ka Copper bobblehead. And it does not disappoint. And it was wild. That's the first game I've attended at Phoenix since they decided to go in a different direction. I was told the exact same thing they told Brittany Griner. We're going in a different direction to start the season. So it is what it is. And now Brittany Griner is in position to pick up her second WNBA championship. And I am hopeful that I will run into that same kind of green grass down the road.
Listen, folks, if you haven't heard her, you got to hear Cindy Brunson. I'm not just blowing smoke because we're talking. And, she's trust me, she's a real deal. So you will get a great opportunity. It's their loss. Now you have the universe has given you space for bigger and better things.
And to join you with
her
podcast, first of all.
Absolutely.
And second, to be able to just take a beat and just watch the games.
How cool is that as a consumer?
It has been amazing. The options are limitless. I will say the most expensive piece of my experience this summer has been the ticket prices. The ticket prices substantially jumped from the last time I did a similar tour, and that was back in 2017. You know, still used all my frequent flyer miles, still used all my hotel points. But yeah, the ticket prices, and I'm not complaining, because I have been entertained across the country watching these elite women play basketball. So that's cool. But it just makes me think this collective bargaining agreement needs to get done and these players need to be paid.
Yes, pay them.
I'm paying already to get in the gate. So I want the product happy, because if there is no product, I can't go to games. I can't call games. I can't talk about games. So we got to take care of the product, and that's the players.
Yes. Listen, owners, people on the board, whatever, who's making these decisions, pay them what they deserve. Pay them what they deserve. Okay. So in terms of the playoffs, Seattle got in.
Yes.
By the skin of their teeth.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on them? They're going to have Minnesota in the first round.
It's just the Jekyll and Hyde deal with Seattle, right? Which storm version is going to show up? Is it going to be Skylar Diggins and the messy bun? You know, is it going to be Gabby Williams hunting shots? Is it going to be Nneka Ogumike and Skylar holding it down? And then who's going to show up as that compliment, like Erica Wheeler did, you know, just a flurry of points to seal the deal against the Valkyries? Or is it going to be Brittany Sykes? So, and then you've got... Dominique Malunga is one of the most exciting players. She's only 19. You know, does she go off? Does she get into a matchup scenario that just lets her shine? So there's so much potential. I can see as a storm crazy who grew up in the Pacific Northwest, why fans are equally excited and crushingly nervous to watch the Storm in the postseason. And of all the teams in the league, Atlanta and Seattle played Minnesota the toughest. So out of the gate matchup, it's just not an 8-1 sleeper for the Lynx. They are going to have to grind to advance.
Does Atlanta have enough in terms of the bench to go past the first round?
I believe so. I think so. Yeah.
And what makes you think that?
Because Atlanta has had to test its bench with the injuries, right? Ryan Howard missed a huge chunk of games. So did Jordan Canada. Alicia Gray had to sit out for a couple here down the stretch. So players have had the opportunity to step up and show out. And for me, the leadership qualities that Naz Hillman has demonstrated all season long has just breathed life into every player wearing an Atlanta jersey, whether it's a rookie in Tahina Paopao or a veteran in Maya Caldwell. Everybody has understood the assignment. And I just think Carl Semesco is just pressing the right buttons at the right time. And when you have two players in particular in Rye and Leash that can just go off, and I mean score 15. Shoot, Helen, we were sitting there. She scored. We saw Rye drop 17 in a quarter. When you have players that can go on a heater like that in a hurry, I like your chances to advance.
Yeah, and as a team, we were wanting that 20th three-point shot. They had 19 and tied the record.
Yes. Shoot the basketball. The only order in the huddle would have been shoot the three, get the record. I don't care who you are. Bree Jones, shoot the three. BG, get out there, shoot the three, get the record.
Pal, shoot it. Yeah. Yes. That was almost one of the most exciting parts of the game was
for sure.
Get it.
The only team that has demonstrated to me that bench could be an issue is Las Vegas.
That was the team I was going to next. Yeah.
You're just bringing back, and kudos to Cheyenne Parker-Tyus.
No, 2 months after having a baby.
2 months. That is mama strong.
See, women, I tell you, we are strong.
Right? Yeah. So, the fact that that's an interesting piece and creates another dynamic, right? Because you know what you're going to get in CP as she comes into this game, right? She's going to give you muscle and intensity, rebounding, defense, all of the things that Las Vegas was lacking from that spot when they went out to get Nalissa Smith, right? So now Nalissa Smith has some help. And that means Asia Wilson has more help. So as everything is rounding into form, this white hot streaking Aces team gets a little more formidable.
So does Becky Hammond get any credit at all for coaching for the streak?
Sure. But it came from it came from A1 and the Olympians, right? And the all-stars on the team who looked in the mirror and said, this is not good enough. It comes from Jackie Young and Jewel Lloyd and Chelsea Gray and Asia and Nalissa. Like everybody wearing an Aces uniform said, this is just not our standard and we have got to be better. And they leveled up to their absolute credit.
Yeah, so many people wrote them off. I was one of the ones I woke up to.
Listen, I was nervous. I was like,
together.
Yeah, I woke up 2 months ago and said, I cannot believe I'm entertaining the thought that the Aces might be the team that won't make the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what a difference a month and a half makes.
So I want to pivot, though, to another coach that I think has done a great job under adverse circumstances, and that's Stephanie White with Indiana. When you're talking about veterans that stepped up, making the playoffs with catastrophic injuries to a third of their team.
Yeah. So many 7-day contracts, so many Are these folks, I know they're sitting on the couch now, but have they been in the gym and have stepped up big, like Shea Petty and Odyssey Sims in particular, all complimenting Kelsey Mitchell, who has had yet another all-star year and has set the single season franchise scoring record along the way. She's averaging 20 points a night. She's always at the top of the scout and nobody can stop her. So she is one of one and has been the head of the snake. But for me, I love this so much because it just proves how good this league is. This league is not one player. It is not one or two superstars. It is a collection of elite basketball players, 160, 180 strong. Like, we know that Toronto and Portland are not going to have trouble building rosters for next season. We saw what Golden State was able to do with cast-offs, quote-unquote, from other WNBA teams. This league is so full of talent. And the way that Stephanie and her staff have orchestrated all of this, and I want to shout out Breanne January because she's the one that's, you know, dictating the defense. The fact that this team has been able to limit the opposition with so many different moving parts has been incredibly impressive.
Enough to beat Atlanta in the first round?
No. But
okay, you said that really fast.
I did, because of the size. It's the size, right?
Okay.
Because Atlanta, and this is what makes Atlanta so sexy in this postseason, the variety of ways the Dream can play, right? They can go small and quick and bound and, you know, just pound you with pace, or they can go big and they can bring BG in alongside Bree Jones. And there's only one Aaliyah Boston, right? And then you make Natasha Howard work on defense, which shrinks her offensive capability. And I just say advantage Atlanta in that.
So Carl Semesco or Natalie Nicasse, coach of the year?
I love what Carl has done. Yep. I love what Carl has done, but he had a lot more in his toolbox to play with, right? All-stars, Olympians, you name it. You cannot say that about Natalie Nicasse. For what she has done with an expansion team to set culture so quickly and absorb injuries herself. She had the one all-star in Kayla Thornton who went down to injury. And there have been folks, pieces like Mo Billings in and out of the lineup with injury. And yet they have stayed steady and clinched a playoff spot. And I'm so excited for Valhalla. I was there on opening night for the regular season, and it was the best venue I have seen this season. And I can't wait to see what the Valkyrie fans do in the postseason. That is going to be a very tough out because they're guaranteed the one home game. And those folks wearing violet understand the whole assignment, Helen.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the most intriguing playoffs for games for me. The former assistant against Becky, and just what she's been able to do with that team there. Most people would assume that they would be an easy out, but I don't think so.
I think as streaky as the Aces have been, their Achilles heel is going to be depth, right? And I am so impressed at how Golden State defends the paint. And where does Asia want to eat? In the paint. So I'm very intrigued. I would not be surprised at all to see an upset there.
So who gets to the finals?
I'm
putting you on the spot here.
I'm not paying attention to like brackets and everything. I'm just telling you teams I want to see. And I would like to see Atlanta versus New York or Atlanta versus Phoenix. But definitely every scenario I have played out in my head involves the Atlanta Dream.
Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. Cindy Brunson said it first. We shall see.
And that's because I'm wearing my BG shirt. I love BG.
I still think you should have said hi to her last week when we were there. But I
know, but I didn't want to be that I know. I didn't want to be that guy. I have given her so much love and we have had so many great conversations personally. I didn't want to be that guy. That was one of the things that I loved when she was able to return home from her wrongful detention in Russia, is to be able to see her wife, Sherelle, on the sidelines and to see them together. And it just gave me so much personal joy. And again, because BG had the same storyline I did coming into this season, I am really rooting for her to get that second WNBA title.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. Let's pivot a little bit here to Connecticut.
Okay.
Lots of stuff, if you will, going on with them in terms of, we have no idea who's going to play for them next year beyond the rookies, the people under contract.
Right.
I think that of late they've played really well. I love their rookies. I think that's a really good core. I don't know. Maybe Marina Mabry wants to stay now. She didn't before. We shall see. But
yeah, where will Saniya Rivers be?
Well, yeah. I guess you just answered my question there.
There we go. There we go.
So in terms of the sale, we've had, obviously, people have offered to buy. Mm-hmm. We've had the chief financial officer for the state of Connecticut saying they put forth a proposal. They want to keep the team in Connecticut. Yep. We have a congressman who wrote a letter that said, hey, you guys need to do the right thing. And then today, 85 members of the Democratic Women's Caucus and the House Democratic Caucus, wrote a letter to Kathy Engelbert saying, you need to negotiate in good faith and they want transparency. So your thoughts on that?
First of all, I'm not surprised that Richard Blumenthal picked up the pen and joined the fight. I lived in Connecticut for 13 years when I worked at ESPN, and he always is on the right side of history when it comes to these sorts of things. So kudos to Richard. He received my votes in several elections, and I'm always happy about that. I think what needs to be done is the WNBA, Kathy Engelbert in particular, has to be transparent about this transaction, because fans, myself included, do not understand when offers are made, and I'm talking substantial offers that
$325 million
far exceed anything else that we have seen coming down the pike. Those offers have to be entertained and not taken lightly. This is all about growing the game, and you want people who love the team down, right? Like, that's major investment. And it's not just that $325 million mark, Helen. It was also the promise of practice facility with another $100 million price tag. So to come that correct and be summarily dismissed makes no sense at all. And I'm so glad the good folks in Connecticut are stepping up and saying, not today, boo-boo, not today.
Do you think it's as simple as they kind of sort of supposedly did an end around and didn't go through the quote unquote process? Or is it they wanted their own team in Boston, or a combination of both?
It could be a combination of both, but at the end of the day, what I see is very clear is Kathy and the leadership at the WNBA wants to dictate who gets what.
Yeah.
And they want their list honored first and foremost. And so that's disquieting. It's like you've got to entertain all offers, especially one this significant.
How do you think it's going to end up?
In court, somebody, as our society is, litigious, unless, and maybe in the collective bargaining agreement, the players can bring this to the table too. Like, hey, if there are legitimate offers that far exceed the folks that have been in line already, we got to entertain this. Because
$500,000 almost,
right? Like that,
and again, half a billion, excuse me.
Yeah, for me, it's the promise of the practice facility to already hit the ground running. We see the complaints in Connecticut about the lack of dedicated space. So that's what you want for the players, because how are you going to get somebody to stay in Connecticut if everybody else around the league has the bells and whistles? Because that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Seattle is going to get a free agent because it has the practice facility. So does Golden State. So does Phoenix. You feel me, right? Like Dallas is building one. Like that's the future. So they just broke ground on Indiana's. They didn't have a dedicated practice facility. That is the future. And if the future can be represented with a big old check and a promise to do that thing, that offer has to be listened to.
You just helped me segue into something I also thought about in terms of facility. Let's talk about Chicago a little bit. It's been talked about ad nauseum. In terms of Angel Reese, I don't think she said anything that everybody was already thinking it. Now, perhaps she could have done that a little bit better.
What Angel did was say the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. I was in Wintrust Arena.
Tell me about that, because you had a perspective being there.
It is sad. It's old. It's tired. The concession stand for merch was a kiosk. It didn't even had set up racks. There was some stuff pinned to the wall. It literally looked like it was thrown together a half hour before the gates opened. It was just not good. And it didn't have that much variety. It was the worst merch station of the 8 arenas. And I know Minnesota's is better because I've been there. So I'm just going to say 9 arenas I've been to. And that can't be, especially when you have one of the most popular players in the league on the team. That's underserving the fans. And it's crazy.
And you won a championship.
Yeah, you want to. And hello, speaking of that championship, there was no recognition anywhere because you saw me, Helen. I walked the concourses. Yep. I took it all in.
You got your method. You got your whole method when you get in the building.
I want to see where's the championship trophy on display? Where's the acknowledgement of one of the best players to ever play for the franchise, Sylvia Fowles, who just got inducted into the Hall of Fame? Where's that? Where's Elena Deladon's recognition? What, you know, I mean, that team, Kyle Copper, like that team has had so many elite players. Emma Mieseman, where are all of those acknowledgments with a jersey hanging with, you know, and I get it. Allie Quigley in the rafters, beautiful. Candace Parker joined her, awesome. But that should not be the only WNBA recognition in the building. And from my eyes, maybe I missed it. I will gladly raise my hand in the air. I might have missed it, but I didn't see what I thought should be there and what I see in other arenas around the league who honor the past and celebrate what the franchise is about.
Well, it is a cluster, you know what, in terms of that organization with draft picks, with you know, getting rid of Teaspoon, with just now the facility.
Kennedy Carter. Why don't you bring up Kennedy Carter?
The facility that was supposed to be built is now double the amount that it was supposed to be built with, and they're asking the city for funds, and it's been delayed. And if you're a free agent, you're telling your agent, don't even take that phone call. So it'll be really interesting to see where they are next year. And then if you screwed up so much, if you're the GM, obviously you want to keep Angel, but because it's so screwed up, do you leverage obviously anybody would want Angel. Do you leverage, because she's not happy there anyway, do you leverage that trader and get a bunch of assets and everything that you can at least build on?
I think that would be the ideal. But if I'm another WNBA team, I think it would just simply cost too much to get her, right? We all know what's in the pipeline. Juju Watkins, Olivia Miles, Lauren Beth. Like, I'm not giving up any draft capital because nobody knows.
No 26 or no 27,
You don't know what 26 is going to look like, right? Because we don't know what the expansion teams will get and how all of the draft capital has to be dispersed. So I wouldn't give up as valuable as a piece as Angel might be, I think I would go through the draft process and then talk about trade and give up something on my current roster as opposed to draft capital. But this is no surprise, Helen. We all saw the article in The Athletic where it was the blind player survey and they ranked all of the teams.
Yeah, I remember that.
And where you want to go. And Chicago was dead last.
Yeah. I mean, when you have one of the greatest players in the world, she doesn't have, and Candace Parker, and she doesn't have her own locker. Come on.
Didn't have her own facilities until she went to Las Vegas. Like, what? That's got to change. And now, with all of these interruptions that you mentioned in the building process of the facility, they can't even get that right. So I if the players wanted to stay away, I don't blame them.
And every time you see Sonya Citron, who's the leading scorer for Washington Mystics, their fans are like,
Yeah, 100%. It's just the players understand their value, right? You look at Unrivaled with that north of $300 million evaluation now.
I don't know what percentage that is year over year, but that's just ridiculous.
A massive increase by hundreds of millions of dollars. To have that valuation number just tells you how popular these players are, right? We're going right back to the product argument. These players are worth the price of admission, and Unrivaled recognizes that. And it's a shame that we're having WNBA franchises struggle to meet the moment.
And they are doing what you should do. They're listening to the players. They're going to expand the facility. They're thinking about another location so that they would have two, which means they would have more opportunities for more players. They're doing it right.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, they added the two teams. And Athletes Unlimited, also very player-driven, has the Players Executive Committee. Lexi Brown is a member of that. She spearheads it. And it's all about player comfort and development. They increase the number of player development folks on hand in Nashville for Athletes Unlimited. It's all about athlete experience and leveling up and tapping into the player that they're capable of being. Not the player that they walk in the door as, but what will they be when this season is over? And that's intentional. And it's important. It's how we see the seismic change in the game of a player like Veronica Burton. This doesn't happen overnight.
Absolutely.
But it does happen with the right tools in place.
Which, again, it's all tied together. The players get better. It's a better product. More people want to watch it, which means there's more opportunity for sponsorship, which means there's more opportunity for owners and equity. Like, it's all connected.
Yes, and then everybody can stack that paper, Helen.
and you can make sure you get your better snacks, which is the most important thing.
Yes. the snacks, not very good. I mean, there was a, at Chicago, whatever Shaquille O'Neal owns, I forget the name of it.
Okay.
So I did get some spicy chicken tenders there. Not terrible. Not as good as
Atlanta. There was something that was okay.
Yeah.
Needless to say, you weren't really talking when you were eating your snacks in Atlanta.
No, I listen. I love, and I know how to gauge the chicken tenders because I get them everywhere I go. That is like my go-to. So yeah,
you got a scale. Okay, all right.
I do.
Cool. Yeah. Let's finish on this. We've had this conversation, but
sure.
MVP.
Yep.
Okay. AT for Phoenix, a gazillion double doubles. Phoenix would not be where they are without her. That's clear. No. Okay. You look at Nafisa Collier, close to a 50-40-90 season, but she missed, 10 games?
11.
11 games. Oh, yeah, kind of last night.
One quarter of the season.
Okay. And then you look at Asia. I'm going to read you these stats. First in total points, first in points per game, first in win shares, first in offensive win shares, first in defensive shares, first in blocks per game, first in player efficiency rating, first in total rebounds, first in defensive rebounds, first in 30-plus point games, first in 30-plus point double-doubles. Obviously, this is from the Vegas site, but there's three arguments there. What say you?
Well, if you are in the best player, best team camp, you're going Fee, right? She's the best player on that team. The rub for me there is that team played really well without her on the floor.
Again,
she has missed one quarter of the season. Forward, I would like the WNBA to put a limit like the NBA has on how many games you can miss and still win that award, because now there is a need for it. We had never had an MVP candidate win before that had missed more than five games. And that was Jonquel Jones a few years ago. And she missed five and won. So there's that. Alyssa Thomas, unprecedented. 352 assists to lead the WNBA. Her 8 triple-doubles this season, a record. She also put up 3 triple-doubles in a row, back to back to back. That had never been done before in WNBA history. And she broke last year's single-season assist record set by Caitlin Clark. In fewer games, 37, and with fewer turnovers, just 92 fewer turnovers than Caitlin put up a year ago. So more efficient. She's almost averaging a triple-double as well.
If I give it to her. It's 9 point whatever. I'm giving it to her.
Yeah. Round up, Helen. Round up. if you take Alyssa Thomas off the Phoenix Mercury, they are not a top 4 seed, and they may not be in the playoffs. Like, that is how critical she is to everything that happens offensively and defensively for Phoenix. In addition to being the offensive engine, she defends 1 through 5. Let me say that again. Alyssa Thomas defends 1 through 5. Everybody was upset from Los Angeles around me last night saying Kelsey Plum had a bad game. And I was like, KP, do you see who is coming over in the help defense rotation? It's not a tiny individual. It's Alyssa Thomas. Of course, KP is going to spin and pass out of that. She doesn't want any of that smoke. And she's not the only one, right? So for me, on both ends of the floor, the impact that Alyssa Thomas has is massive. Okay, so we've done Fee. We've done AT, and that brings us to AZ.
But before you do that, regardless of what happens with AT, there needs to be that type of award added to the postseason because of what she's done. I don't know what you call it, but that
game changer. She's changed the game. She has created a position that didn't exist before, and she's crushing
where
it.
Your scores, your contribution. That might not be eye candy, is recognized for the importance that it has.
Yes. And I mean, and if you're a basketball purist and you love the numbers, you love AT. That's why I love her. Anytime you make history in this league, it should be rewarded. And all Alyssa Thomas has done all season long is rewrite the history books over and over and over again. Now to A1, Miss Asia. Woo! I love her.
Top.
Sing the jingle. Here's the deal. I developed this little rule with Wilson because all she does is top herself, right? She's so out of this world awesome. The only comparison you can make for her is not to another player, but to herself. And when I do that, I look at last year, which I know was a record-setting season. She scored more than 1,000 points and didn't even need all of her three-point makes to eclipse 1,000, which was unbelievable. But with that said, she's not scoring the ball as efficiently this season as she did a season ago. And that's why I give her Defensive Player of the Year, no doubt. Because she is not as dominant as she was a season ago and for the entire season, right? She wasn't putting up a bunch of 30 pieces in the first half when people were worried that they weren't going to make the playoffs. I don't remember a bunch. I remember one, maybe two. Everything else is covering this win streak. Very impressive. Not discrediting that at all. I'm just saying voters shouldn't be sucked into recency bias. I'm going the length of the season, and the most consistent player the length of the season has been Alyssa Thomas.
There you go, folks. That is what Cindy Brunson thinks, and you should be a lawyer.
And listen, I'm not gonna hate if Asia Wilson wins both awards. If she gets MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, we saw her do that a couple seasons ago. Like, I get it. She's fully capable. And if she is able to achieve that, she will become the first four-time MVP winner, which, of course, she's out of this world awesome. Yay. But she would also join Cheryl Swoops as the only other player to win both the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year award in two different seasons. Hall of Famer Cheryl Swoops did it in 2000 and in 2002. That is lofty company.
Yeah, it's a good company to be in. So
yes.
We shall see what we shall see. This is Cindy Brunson.
Williams. I'm going to put you off the hook, Helen. Hold on. What's your gut telling you? Who do you think will win MVP?
I was trying to end the show, Cindy, without having to.
I know you were. And that's why I hit the break.
I am a former walk-on in college. And I like to recognize people like AT, who are just the backbone, who everyone has the eye candy. And I love Nafisa Collier, and I love Asia Wilson as well. But I feel like it should be AT for all the reasons that you mentioned. And also, she's been so close, and what she does needs to be rewarded in terms of reframing the importance of people on a team. So if I had the vote, I would vote for AT, but I don't have a vote.
I got you. I don't have a vote.
I'm not saying that just because you said it. I just feel like those things are so important, and most people, and it really is going to depend on who's voting
I am with Becky Hammon on this point. Coach was very succinct the other night post game. The voters need to be transparent. Who you voting for?
Oh yeah.
Like, I still don't know who gave
Asia. I want to know who made her fourth. Yeah. Gave her that first place. You need to have some transparency and some accountability for your vote, no matter what it is. You need to be able to explain it just like the two of us. And if people disagree, then that's more than fine. But it needs to be transparent. You shouldn't be able to hide because
if you feel good about it, if that's your conviction, you should be able to put your name on it.
And stand there and take it when people disagree.
You want to hide and shrink. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But anyway, great conversation. As always, I love spending time with you. Last week, again, you and I are going to work together sometime this year somewhere. I don't know what league or what game it is, but we're going to be together. But, I'm looking forward to the playoffs that start, I believe, Sunday. So we shall see what we shall see. Great work.
I love it. I cannot wait. My popcorn is ready. Right back at you, Helen. Be good.
All right. Make sure you find us on all of the platforms, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, all the social media platforms and everything. But this is Her Hoop Stats Women's Basketball.